God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. By songs of deliverance, we've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and the daughters. Let us sing our freedom. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. He rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God.
Yes, I'm a child of God. That is so true. If you turn to Jesus, if you're born again by His Spirit, it's just amazing what we can be, what we were never. We were born lost, and all of a sudden Jesus comes into our lives and we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's a blessing. Do we deserve it? No, nobody does. Can you have a verse that I want you to, as I go into this message, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. Brandon, can you put it up? It says, as has been even singing about this, as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What he's saying is every human being that was born of a woman into this world, flesh and blood, is in Adam. And the reason why we are in Adam, because we are all sinners and trespassers. We are full of iniquity because of the fall of the Adam and Eve. That's where it started. And that sin nature has been passed on to every one that is born into this world. And the reason why so many people are trying to ease their conscience and their soul through religion and doing this and that, bypassing what Jesus finished for us on the cross. Going to church doesn't do it. You can go to church as often as you like. That won't change you. You will hear the message at least. Singing, praying, doing good things, going and doing good to other people, going to breakfast on time, here I'm thinking to my people, the other rites. If you think by doing good things and good deeds, it will not save you. This fallen nature needs more than trying to be good. There is nothing in a human being that can please God the way we are born if there is no change. If we think we can please God, in our own efforts, in our way of operating, we have another thing coming. We are going to be in Adam until the day we die. And the end result is the lake of fire. That's why when people all over the world, the devil knows it's all a devil's scheme, all to bypass Jesus. Look at all the religions of the world, how they try to please God by doing this, by worshiping a tree, by whatever you name it, anything except Jesus. And today we will go into this and explain through the Word of God that a person needs to be born again in order to become or come into the kingdom of God. And the decision we have to make here, we cannot make it once we die. It's too late. We have to seek while he can be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Because the minute you start pushing it off and pushing it off, I got lots of time left. I'm still young. I'll do it when I get older. Not realizing the young die as much as the old guys die. The thing is, what are you going to do with this message this morning? Those who listen by radio, internet, or YouTube, what are you going to do with Jesus? The gospel is going to be represented to you and give you a choice. Either to accept him, be born again, or reject it. It's up to you. God will not interfere. If you have a heart that is seeking God, if you have a heart that is after God to be saved, you will find him. God is that type of God he is. He loves you. That's why he went to that cross for us. He knew we couldn't save us. He knew that we cannot, by any chance, please him. There's no way. There's nothing in us that can do that. So before we go into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for a blessing. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, you have written this, you have given it to us so that we might have a life and read it and enjoy it and understand it through your spirit, Lord. You will guide every heart here and touch every heart. Touch my lips, Father, and I ask you, Lord, to bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Corinthians 15:45. It says, And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam, as he was in the Garden of Eden, he was perfect when God created him in the beginning. But when he disobeyed God and sinned against his commandment, the easy commandment, he died. We all died. By disobeying God, there is no none good, no not one. Not even one of us is good outside Jesus. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and God talked with them every day, it came at the cool of the day. They communicated with God day after day, and all of a sudden, when they sinned against God, it was cut off. That's our nature now. Totally lost. That's when we became lost forever and forever, unless. When it says in Adam, and then Jesus says, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That's where Jesus comes into our lives. He quickens our spirit. He saves our spirit. That's where we become born again and again. Howbeit, that was not first was which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. He describes it here. We are born of flesh and blood. We are natural. And this natural cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's impossible. That's why we have to turn to Jesus. The spiritual part, that's where God has to. You cannot, by any chance, just switch over and say, now I'm going to be spiritual today. No, that's where Jesus has to make the move in your heart. That's what Jesus has to save. I cannot save you. I can tell you about Jesus, his forgiveness, and tell you that you need to be saved. In verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. How do you accomplish that? He tells us here, we are of this earth. There is nothing we can do about it. That's what we are. But we will get the spiritual things. We will get to the spiritual, the heavenly spiritual thing. We will be born again some of these days. And we are born again now. That's what he's saying. You need to listen to what he's saying now. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. We cannot inherit it. We cannot earn it. You cannot even work for it. All your life you can work and work and work trying to be good, trying to do this. It will not help you. You'll still be lost. Remember the story, go back into Acts. Cornelius, you know how Cornelius was. He was a good man. He did everything good. He gave his alms to the poor. He built buildings for the church. He did all sorts of good. There was something missing. And God knew his heart. He wanted to please God. But if he would have died in this state, he would have gone to hell. But God sent someone there. You need to send for Peter. He will tell you what you must do. That is this with us today. We need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and turn to this Jesus he has given us, who died for you and for me. Let's turn to John 3, my favorite chapter. That's the chapter where I got born again, where Jesus touched me. And you know, it's still powerful today when we consider. First, there came a man to Jesus during the night, Nicodemus by name. He was supposed to know everything. He was a lawyer. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew everything. But the problem is, knowing and reading the Word of God doesn't mean nothing. If our eyes are not open, if we are not in Christ, we will miss the point. When he came to Jesus by night, he asked Jesus, we know you are a good man. We know what you do. You're doing good things. And Jesus plainly told him, John 3:3. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that's where Jesus puts down his foot. Listen, here's the deal, guys. If you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What does it mean by being born again? Remember the holiest of all, or the temple in the Old Testament. There was the holiest of all. There was the inner court, and there was the outer court. Into the holiest of all went the high priest only once a year, but not without blood. Now, when you turn to Jesus, Jesus saves your spirit. That's where you are born again. You are forever born into the family of God. When you turn to Jesus for salvation, our spirit is being changed. He puts his spirit within, takes the old nature out. Now, all of a sudden, we have the power to live for Jesus. That's being born again. The Spirit of the living God. You are saved by the Spirit of God. Jesus becomes one in you. You become a Jesus, a Christ one. And that cannot change. That's God's business. That's the one He keeps it. He seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise. He seals you with the blood of Jesus, and no one can interfere. Now, on your heart is a different story. That's where you have to work on, is to change that daily. Your heart is not being saved. It's being saved every day. Your heart needs to change. That's why we need to renew our mind daily and read the Word of God to renew our mind. Because remember, when we were unsaved, when we were heathen, we were used to all kinds of junk in our minds, and we lived by that. Now, all of a sudden, you become born again. You have to clean it. It takes time. Don't expect that person to be perfect. He's perfect in spirit to be like the way he's supposed to be. It takes time for a Christian to grow. And then when people realize this guy means business, they will see. In verse 4 of John, then Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? A guy that was supposed to know the scriptures. Isaiah is full of it. He missed it. He missed the point. That's why it is to be spiritually discerned. That's why Jesus has to put it in you, for you to understand. You ask people now, Christians, they call themselves Christians, are you born again? They look at you as you are out of your mind. They don't even know what you're talking about. That's what Nicodemus is. Ask the question. What is that? What are you talking about? It's the same thing today. Nothing has changed until Jesus changes you. Then you see. How can you understand what another brother is saying to you? Your spirit connects. You don't have to be taught. You know. And you know that you know this guy is of truth. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, that is your physical. No devil can be saved. He made it clear that no demon, no devil can be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's talking to the human race. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Just like in 1 John 3, I don't have it up here. It says, he that is born of God cannot sin because the seed remains in him because he is born of God. That's the spirit man. It cannot sin anymore. We are sinners before we come to Christ. Once you become a born-again Christian, you're no longer a sinner. You are a born-again child of God. You're a saint. God looks at you as though you have never sinned before. That's the holiness of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. He mentions it quite often because it's so important. Ladies and gentlemen, or he that listen to me on radio, you need to be born again. Living in a system, living in a colony, going to church does not save a person. Being even baptized has nothing to do with salvation. Baptism is just a sign that you have become born again by your spirit. Like in the Old Testament, when the Jews, they got circumcised for a sign, he told Moses or Abraham that you are my children, that you are my child, you have to be circumcised. That's a sign of the circumcision. They were marked for God. In the New Testament, it's the water baptism. It's not that water saves you. It's just the outward sign to this world and to the church that you are now born again by the Spirit of God, that you are saved and that you belong to God. That's what is all it is. That's all water is. It's just to show you, people, that you are born again. In verse 7, in verse 15, I'll jump a little bit here. That whosoever, 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why did the Son of Man have to be lifted up? So we can be born again today. He took all your sins and my sins, took them to the cross, nailed them on there, and set you and me totally free. He made sure that he put everything out of the reach of the devil. He cannot condemn you anymore. It's Christ that sets you free. He doesn't condemn you anymore. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But those that are born again, there is no condemnation in you. The devil cannot accuse you. And the man cannot accuse you because your sins have been taken off at the cross of Calvary. God wiped you clean. Even if you do fall into sin, what then? You're still forgiven. Present, future, and whatever you ever did has been taken care of at the cross of Calvary. When Paul said in Romans, it's not I that do it, but that sin that dwells in me. We still have this nature in us that wants to go against God. But that doesn't change what you are in Christ Jesus. That's why the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. That means Jesus someday will bruise the serpent's head on the cross of Calvary. That whosoever looks at that serpent in the Old Testament was healed from the serpent's bite. And we all have been stung. Every human being got poisoned by the devil's lies, by our fallen nature. And Jesus said, hold it, I'm going to clear this up. Just like he said, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is everlasting life? It never ends. Does God ever end? No. He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an ending. He always was, and he always will be. Let it sink into your heart. He always was around. Nobody told him what to do. He always was. Now he has given us that eternal life through Jesus. And it's going to last how long? Forever and forever and ever. When we're born again, either it's forever and ever and ever with Jesus, or it's forever and ever and ever in the lake of fire. The choice is up to you. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, verse 17, sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God took away the sin of this world when Jesus died. The sin of this world that we should be lost has been taken care of. But the problem is people don't believe that. We need to accept it as our own, that this is our only salvation. That's repentance. Turning from our own way of salvation, of being saved, and turning to what God has provided. What might we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus told them, plain and simple, that you might believe on him whom he has sent. That's the work of God, is believing what Jesus did for you and for me by accepting it into your heart, and then you'll be saved. That's all we can do. We have nothing good in us. There is nothing good in man. We need to be born again by his Spirit. Jesus made it very clear. In order for a human being to become eternally saved, to be with him eternally in heaven, there's got to be Jesus coming into your lives. you become a Christ one. And this is the condemnation. Oh, sorry. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. It's very simple. Human beings rejecting the light, rejecting the gospel, it's understandable, because their deeds are evil. That's what we are. That's our nature. That's why we need to be changed from within. That's why we need to get born again by the Spirit of the living God. That's why Jesus has to become one with us. And if we turn to this Jesus for salvation, if we give our lives to him, it's forever and forever bliss, forever joy and peace. And it's going to be, we have no idea, like Paul said, what God has for them that love him. We don't know, but someday we'll be up there with him, because Jesus loves you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also. That's God's desire. That's a loving God, taking your sin and mine, forgiving us everything, and say, listen, you're my child. Come to me. I will save you. You can't save yourself. I will make you born again. You're going to become like me, as perfect as God himself. So let the Lord open your heart and mind to this. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
I can take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can take a soul that's sinful, make it whiter than snow. But I know a man. Savior, the Redeemer of men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you, and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man. But I know a man who can. I can't cause blind eyes to open, make the lame to walk again. But I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you, and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man. Is free, but I know a man who can. I can take a life that's shattered, make their sorrow turn to joy, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of men. I call him Jesus, dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you, and your life is out of hand, well, I know I'm